calling something low level is not really a great way to describe your entry level people, because entry level really expresses that there's potential, right? This is your entry point. There's a lot of potential, a lot of runway for you to grow here.
Welcome to the People Proud Podcast, where we connect the dots between empowering people and empowering business. This is the show for leaders, innovators, and changemakers who believe that people are the key to progress. Each episode features bold thinkers and culture builders reshaping how modern companies work, lead, and grow. We explore the evolving world of work, from strategy and technology to leadership, belonging, and everything in between, to help you build a thriving, future-ready organization.
Hi, welcome to the People Proud Podcast with Hi Bob. I'm Tali Sachs and one of your co-hosts. My other co-host is Ken Matos.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ken Matos. I'm the Director of Market Insights at Hi Bob.
And we would love to welcome Kara Hunter, Principal Consultant at Living HR, a trusted HR partner with Human First Solutions and a Hi Bob partner, to this episode, the People Proud Podcast, Grow From Within or Hire From Without. In this episode, we're going to talk about how you know when to grow talent from within or when to hire from the outside. When is which better? We'll also explore how modern companies are scaling intentionally by balancing internal mobility with smart hiring decisions, how to do that. We'll talk about live examples, real stories from our experience, some fresh data, and we'll talk about why investing in agile internal talent often pays off, and also how to make the case for people-first growth that supports culture and cost efficiency. And with that, let's get the conversation started with the first question. So should you always grow from within? And when does it make sense to hire from the outside? How can you tell? How do you make those decisions?
Yeah, great. And thanks. It's so great to be here on the podcast today. And I think this is one of the most common questions that organizations are facing, especially as they're scaling or evolving. Should we grow our own talent? Should we go outside for talent? And how do we make those decisions? And I think it's not necessarily one or the other. You have to be really careful and intentional and thoughtful about how you make those decisions. So it's not just filling a role or filling a seat. It's really thinking about what capabilities do we need in this particular role today, but also what are we going to need for the future? And do we have the talent in place that can accomplish both of those things? Or do we need to go outside and bring in some disruption into the organization, someone new, some fresh thinking, in order to fill that seat? And so I think you really have to be very intentional about whether you place them or you buy them in terms of talent. Just a note on growing from within, there's so many benefits to that because it really creates what I would describe as stickiness in the organization. So people stay longer, particularly if you have very clear career paths and people can see where they're going. They stay longer, they're engaged, and it really protects your culture and your knowledge base. So there's a lot of very positive things about growing from within. One way, you know, as a consultant, when I work with companies that are wrestling with this, one thing that I work with them a lot on is really to start to map the skills that they have today and then thinking about what they need for the future and do those things map up. Because a lot of times they already have the talent, they just have the talent in the wrong spot. And so there's a lot of mobility that can happen internally to fill some of those spaces. Sometimes they just need clarity, development, opportunity. They need to understand what's possible. I've been working a lot more with clients on not just linear career path, but going across. So that career lattice, we've heard that term before. That has been like the hot thing the last couple of years is people and employees themselves really want to grow that way. They don't necessarily want to promote. They might want to go across and learn new things. They might need to go across in order to go up. And when you can demonstrate that visually, it really helps them understand where they can go.
How are you mapping that? There are technologies, obviously, but those conversations are often the conversations that employees are a bit timid about having with their management and or HR, both. So how do you get those conversations started and actually encourage people to say, hey, I have this hidden skill set that you could tap into. I heard about this, or maybe they don't even know that some skills are needed. How do you get that out there and encourage those conversations?
Yeah, that can be really difficult because I've used different tools. So things like surveys, and you can survey employees and really understand what their full skill set is. Sometimes that makes people very apprehensive because they may be marking on a lot of these skill sets. Yeah, I'm low here. No, I don't have great skills in AI or Excel or whatever the technology may be, or other things. Like, I may not like to present. I may not want to do various things. And so you have to be very thoughtful and intentional about how you message any of this change. So it's not that people don't have a place in the organization. We're just really trying to determine what that place is. And then if there's things they want to do and things they want to learn about, really having clear learning pathways or mentorship, internal development is really important so the employees feel supported and they don't feel like this is some sort of like a call out situation or something's going to happen to their position. It can be very nerve-wracking for the employees. It can have a big impact on the culture and the trust. So you have to do this very carefully. So I've done interviews with the right context and communication. We can do things like surveys, working with leadership teams to really understand what their strategic plan is for the business. So this isn't just about people. Where are they trying to take the actual operations of the business? And then how do we link up the knowledge, skills, and abilities that are needed for their employees to get them there? And what can they now leverage tech for? So employees have opportunities to do more strategic thinking, high value work would be how I would describe it, because we have so many amazing tools that can do more straightforward tasks. And frankly, sometimes they do it a lot better than we do as humans because we have a lot less error, but set up correctly. So you just really have to be very careful, intentional, understand what the future state is, understand what those future capabilities are, and then you map the people into that. So it's quite an undertaking, which I think is why a lot of organizations bring in consultants to help, because it's quite a lot of work, and even taking it department by department and slowly doing a proof of concept, maybe with one group before you do the whole organization. I've seen that used quite frequently as well.
So if you build the map and you find that people are not matches for the roles that you're creating and you're going to have to hire from without, how do you have that conversation? I know a lot of colleagues really stumble at having to say like, no.
That can be really hard because a lot of organizations have something like a self-nomination process. So maybe there's this shiny new amazing leadership role open and people will apply to it, but they don't quite have the skill set to get there. I think it's really important more often than not to open that opportunity up to people so they can apply for it. And so we can have really meaningful conversations with them to say, hey, you're doing these five things wonderfully. This position really needs some outside industry expertise. We need someone, as an example, that's implemented AI at lots of different companies, right? And so the thought there is, let's put together a plan to get you there, right? If this is the career trajectory that you want, let's put that plan together, get the learning paths in place, get the training in place. Maybe it's a certification they need. Maybe it's mentorship with this person that comes in to help them build that capability. So it's a tough conversation, but the harder conversation is when you put someone into a role that they're not equipped to do and they don't have the support to do it and then they fail. So that's the last thing that we want, is for employees to fail at something. And it's much better to have a very honest, straightforward conversation about where they are, where they want to go, and how the organization is going to help them evolve and grow to get there. This takes a lot of planning, right? This could be a year or two, I mean, who knows, in advance. And so you have some, hopefully some runway, if you're planning far enough ahead, to get your employees where they need to go and help them have the support needed to gain those additional skill sets so they're ready to support the organization in the future.
Great. Does that answer your question, Ken? I love that answer.
It does. I really like the point about this really needs to be done like a year in advance. I think so much of this stuff is done on the fly, and that's what creates the stress around it. Whereas if it was like, here's a plan, this is where we're going, and this is what you can do to be part of it, it pulls you in, as opposed to these like, well, no, it's a random guess of did I get the skills or not? You'll decide whether or not you fire me, promote me, keep me, or whatever. And there's really nothing I can do about it.
That's where you get into trouble. And it's all about the leadership team having that 2, 3, 5 year strategic plan so they know where they're going. If they don't intentionally have those plans, then they look over at their competitor, And they see, oh my gosh, they've offshore, they have globalization for their IT function. And now their prices are much less because their talent costs are less. And then they are scrambling, right, to catch up because they're losing market share and they're losing out on things. And so if the leaders aren't prepared and thinking way ahead, then that's where you have this downstream big impact. And to your point, Ken, then they scramble, they offshore stuff, and then there's this group of employees that are impacted. And that's not an ideal state, right? That's not where we want to be by any means. All of this innovation and new things and the disruption in work, the intent isn't that we don't need people anymore. We just need people doing different things.
You also mentioned the lattice earlier, and that got me thinking about the question of, okay, if somebody's continually moving sideways, I totally have read all the articles where it's like, there's days I don't want to manage people. If we get rid of that question and just say, okay, I'm moving sideways, I'm getting this really diverse set of skills, how does that affect compensation, reward? Am I growing in any sort of financial way when I'm doing that? Is that a cutting trap?
It can be a trap. I love compensation. A lot of my background is in compensation, so I might get a little nerdy with some of this conversation. But it's really important for organizations at this point to really have a good handle on how am I paying compared to the market, establishing their compensation strategy. How do I want to pay my people? What do my pay ranges look like? In the United States now and in many other countries, all these pay transparency laws are coming online state by state. And as we have different work models and we have people working remotely in different places, we'll hire people anywhere. You forgot about the downstream impact of that. Oh, now we have to keep track of all these labor laws. And so employers are running into, I have to be transparent in my job postings in this state, not this state. They're trying to catch up in this area. And so really having your pay ranges established, communicate them internally. So there's pay transparency and people know if I move into this job, this is my earnings potential. So maybe I don't want to make that move. Maybe it's a downgrade, because even if the level is the same or even a higher level, it really depends what pay grade that position is in. And so I tend to build these career mobility structures where you can see by department, here are all the jobs in this department. Here's the pay grade that they're in. And so if you're planning to move, I don't know, maybe you're going to move from HR to finance and you're an HR manager and you want to be a finance manager. They may not be at the same pay grade. Maybe the finance person is a grade above. So you actually have a higher earning potential, even though it's a lateral move. So it can get very complex. And I think one of the biggest issues with this is managers are not always equipped to explain this either to employees. So it all goes back to setting that strategy, really mapping your roles out. And then in addition to understanding the pay grades, understanding the capabilities required for the role. So is it even a possibility for me? But you're right, Ken. I mean, sometimes people, through doing this latticing, they may take a lateral move. They may even take a step down because they can see the trajectory going up. It just depends on the role. I'll use myself as an example. I was an HR manager for one of the big four accounting firms, and I really wanted to move over to consulting. And so I took a role as a consultant. It was actually paid less than my role at the firm, but I could see where I could go. And so I was willing and I was able, because I had a very supportive spouse, I was able to do this. And I've been able to progress further or in a different way, a more meaningful way. And I was able to catch up on the comp side. But sometimes to kind of learn that new skill, sometimes you do have to take a little bit of a step back or a lateral move. But if you understand where you're going, for some people that's acceptable. For others, it's not. But it's just part of that career journey.
The People Proud podcast is brought to you by HiBob, the all-in-one people management platform that puts people at the center of business. HiBob connects HR, finance, IT, and managers in one intuitive system to help companies manage onboarding, performance, workforce planning, and more, all while empowering people and driving business forward. Loved by thousands of companies and millions of users for its intuitive design, fast implementation, and global capabilities, HiBob is redefining what it means to lead with people today and in the future. Check out more at HiBob.com.
With that, I want to kind of pivot because we're talking about taking maybe a step down. And within this conversation of growing from within, hiring from without, is entry-level roles and what's happening with them in the market and within companies today. We have AI often replacing entry-level roles. There's also this misconstruction between what's an entry-level role versus a low-level role. And like, why do we have all of these job descriptions saying entry level, 3 to 4 years of experience? How am I supposed to apply to that straight out of school, et cetera? We have internship saying internship experience required for the internship, all of that. So my first question there is, let's say AI replaces entry level roles, which we see happening. Like you said, sometimes AI does do it better than us, but we still need to coach it to get there. We still need to set it up. But where will that leave tomorrow's mid-level talent and future leaders? Because if we're abandoning the base of entry-level people and not training them and not even hiring them because short-term benefits of AI, cost benefits, et cetera, it seems quite myopic to me. But what are we setting ourselves up for? And how do we fix that if we've already started down that path?
I think this is going to be one of the biggest challenges. And AI is a big disruptor, but it's also globalization. So a lot of these kind of quote unquote low level or entry level roles, we're offshoring to other places because we can, there's cheaper labor and maybe even some really great processes in some of these other places. And so where does that leave our people entering the workforce? And I think this is something that potentially could be hugely impactful, because if you don't have the people coming in at the entry point, how do you develop your future leaders? I know many CEOs that started in the mailroom, right? They have to start somewhere. And so how do we build the talent and create future leaders if we don't have that entry point? There has to be some sort of training ground for folks to enter the workforce and start to learn how to do these very important roles and then progress in the organization. So I would say things like AI and even globalization, they should be an amplifier, not a replacement for all entry talent. The hope is that it takes some of the mundane work off of people's plates so they can actually focus and accelerate faster to something where they're doing more strategic thinking or creativity or problem solving. And if a lot of the younger people that I talk to that are coming into the workforce, that's what they want to do anyway. And the way that they've learned and developed and they've built these very creative, strategic thinking mindsets with the way curriculums and everything are set up in school today. So I have a lot of hope and I'm very energized for people moving in. And I think they're ready for it. I think they can do more than the mundane tasks. So we need to give them that opportunity. And so I do think there is going to be an impact on the number of entry-level roles. So what that leads to is it's going to be even more important how you select talent. And retention of talent is going to be even more important because you're going to have less people. So going back to my big four accounting days, it was volume. You hire the most amazing accounting students right out of school you can find. 1 in 10 of them will make partner. That's it. So you're going to lose 9 of them. And they can't really work that way anymore. So they can't just churn and burn people. And the person that managed to stick through enough busy seasons is going to make it. That isn't going to work anymore. And so it's interesting because you actually need to focus, I think, even more on your entry-level hires, because every hire now is precious into the organization. If you lose that person, there's not 8 other people that can fill the spot. So it's made it, I think, retention strategies and engagement have become more important for the people that are here. And so I think the other thing is just reimagining this kind of entry-level we're calling something low level is not really a great way to describe your entry level people, because entry level really expresses that there's potential, right? This is your entry point. There's a lot of potential, a lot of runway for you to grow here. If you call someone low level, it's also just even just the frame of reference for that person is I'm not important. They're not focused on my career. They're not focused on my growth. I'm just like a body they're putting in a seat because I need to make this widget. And it doesn't really matter if it's me or somebody else. And so I think reframing that and even the word entry level, using words like associate, and there's different titling that you can use to even make that more attractive. And I think it's some of the things we talked about before on career pathing and learning paths that are really important for these folks. So it's demonstrated like we're really committed to you being here and retaining you and growing you. Whereas if you're low level and you're not focused on those things, that's where you get the turnover and the churn. So I think the words are important when you're talking about entry level.
Absolutely. I think one of the interesting things about the words, though, especially sort of this post-COVID, you only live once sort of energy, is like trying to find an honest relationship with organizations and like the ones who are really like, no, you're low level. Like, you don't have a path. This doesn't go anywhere. And then having them say, oh, actually, we're going to label these things in ways that make you have beliefs that then we're going to betray. I think that's one of the places that organizations could really double down on either getting rid of roles that don't go anywhere and really making sure everything you keep has a path, or like having really honest conversations. Like, I remember when I graduated college, I had a job where they said you could take this lower paid job that has a path or a higher paid job that doesn't go anywhere. And I said I wanted the higher paid job that doesn't go anywhere because I'm studying for something else. And so it was a really good balance to have that clarity of position.
I was going to say that first, I had a couple of things that crossed my mind as you were both talking. One, usually when you bring AI into conversations like this, it's automatically like this negative, oh, it's going to crash and burn everything. And what you said, Kara, about this is what entry-level professionals actually want. They want to be more strategic. They don't want to do just monotonous tasks. This is really positive and gives me a lot of hope because I have a lot of these conversations with individual contributors and just saying, hey, it's really about investing in your own talent as an individual contributor. But at the organizational level, it says, okay, how am I going to shift my thinking to meet the moment now? What does it mean about how we craft job descriptions, how we craft growth trajectories in general? Like, we as organizations need to shift our entire approach to meet this moment and the people of it. And then that will help boost everything from the bottom up. And as you said, so that AI is an amplifier and not a replacement. And we're running a bit low on time. We have about 9 minutes. So I'm going to flag that. And just because of everything I've just said, actually, this goes back to this question of organizational culture and growth. And if you keep your people and you actually make precise hiring decisions that are really based on at the interview level and also starting at the job description level on how people think, if you make a hire based on not just someone's hard skills, but soft skills and how they think critically about certain things, what their intuition is like, how creative they are, like that feeds directly into your culture and that will keep them there. So this is often where managers and HR hit up against a wall with executive management. How do I make the case for investing in people and people first growth versus cost efficiency only? We on the HR side see those can be one and the same. Investment in people growth equals cost efficiency. How do you make this case across the board, especially within this paradigm shift we're experiencing now?
When I work with executive teams, one of the things I found the most helpful is data-informed decision-making. So if I can provide them with data points, and you can do a look back on the organization and say, what's been successful here? Because I guarantee 9 times out of 10, when they grow leaders from within and they progress in the organization, they're more engaged and you have better retention. When you infuse a brand new leader into an organization or middle manager, sometimes they make it, sometimes they don't. Because some of that also goes back to your point, job descriptions, very careful hiring, hiring not just for skills, but also for culture add. Are they going to be an additive to our culture? Or are they going to disrupt our culture in a negative way? Because that's very important as well. Now, all that being said, sometimes you do need to hire someone externally. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. You absolutely need to sometimes when you need that disruptor or you need a very specific skill set. You're going into a new market. You're launching a new product. You just may not have that person or team internally that can do it on their own, right? You might need to bring in that new thought leader, a new expert. And sometimes that results in really great things. A little bit of tension sometimes is okay when you bring in someone new. But you have to be really careful, right, that they're going to be a fit in terms of cultural alignment as well as knowledge, because just because they have the knowledge doesn't mean that they're going to work in your organization.
Very true.
So really knowing your culture and knowing how to interview for it is also extremely important. But I think you can really convince executives about some of the career mobility and career growth internally, because you can go to data every time. There's all sorts of numbers out there. I don't know, it costs you 140% of salary to replace someone. I think it's something like that. So when you start to present them with data, I think that's where you can convince them to maybe think about it a little bit differently. Maybe it's you need to hire a couple people, but there's probably some people on the team that we can move over to this new initiative or new product or whatever the organization is trying to do. So sometimes it's a combination of things. But the data-informed decision-making, I always look at what CFOs are doing, what chief technology officers are doing. They're using data when they're speaking with the CEO. And so HR really has to do the same thing. And because what we do, it really boils down to dollars in a lot of ways when you think about retention, engagement, and those sorts of metrics. Time to fill, how quickly you can assimilate and be productive when you're a new hire. So all of these things have real dollars attached to them, but HR doesn't always do the best job articulating that.
How would you recommend HR hone their skills on that? That's the big question that we get all the time.
Some of these things are systems like HiBob. HR tech is amazing now. It's come such a long way. And you can get a lot of these data insights just by using your HRIS, just by using, if you have engagement platforms, whatever you're using, the data's there. You just have to pull it out. And now the tools are more and more sophisticated all the time. There's dashboarding, there's all sorts of things where you can pull this information very easily now. And so I would say leverage your tools because it's there. Maybe hire a new grad onto your team that knows technology really well. They'll be able to find it for you, but it's there. You have the data. You just have to understand how to extract it and then visualize it and present it in a way that's meaningful.
Great. I think this is a great conversation, and I'm holding myself back because I have so many questions that we don't have time for. But I just want to ask if you have anything else to add, any insights.
Yeah, I think just to summarize, I would say that thinking about hiring externally versus growing your internal talent, you don't have to go one way or the other. It really is a mix of these strategies to really bring your organization where it needs to go. And so just really think every time you have an open role, that role is very precious. So you really have to think about, you know, do I want to grow talent and grow someone into this role? Or do I really need to bring someone in from the outside to disrupt what we're doing a little bit? So don't just fill seats. It's not a volume exercise. Really be intentional about how you're moving people around, or when you bring someone in from the outside, just be intentional about it. Really think it through. Don't get overwhelmed. I know some organizations have a lot of requisitions open. Don't get overwhelmed by that. And I would say when you have someone leave, really look at their role and say, do I need to just replace this person? Or is this an opportunity for us to evolve this position? Really give someone internally a great opportunity to move into this, or you bring in someone from the outside. But you don't just have to then just churn and fill seats. Really think about what you're doing. Have a plan, have a multi-year plan for where you're going. So that would be my advice. Really think about your career paths and just be transparent with people. Just be honest with your employees. That's what they're looking for. And when you extend that trust to them, I think you get it back tenfold. So you don't need to make it a secret. Bring them along with you as you evolve your workforce and just way of structuring your career opportunities.
100%. I totally agree. Also, every person is a building block for your company, your success, your culture, et cetera. So everyone counts. I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Kara. It's been an absolute pleasure. I hope we get to meet again soon. And thank you. Let's keep in touch. It's been great. And let's keep the conversation going. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the People Proud Podcast. You'll find links to any resources mentioned in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd love it if you subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and share it with someone who shapes the world of work.